It's Tuesday, the 8th of December, 2015. Happy birthday to Dwight Howard and Andrew Nicholson. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Oz Dan. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, hopefully you know what to do. But if you don't, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and it's as simple as that. You become a sponsor of the podcast, and not only does it get you the chance to be a sponsor of the podcast, but it helps the show out tremendously, helps me attract sponsors, helps keep the show going 7 days a week, which is what it's obviously what it's doing now. Help to keep things financially viable, just to keep things going. And you know what? And to also improve the show as well. So that's another big help. So if you can do that, that would be awesome. Also, if you live in Australia or New Zealand, make sure you're checking out moneyball.com.au, Australasia's only daily fantasy sports site, so you can get in on all the DFS action over on Moneyball. All right. Today was another interesting day in the NBA. Some blowouts, some confusing coaching, I'll put it that way. Some welcome coaching, I'll put that another way. Some blowouts, I said that already, but that's how big some of the blowouts were. That's it.
Let's get to it.
Thank you, Michael. The monstrous line of the night, and a big reminder that when I do the monstrous line of the night, I'm looking at head-to-head leagues, because I'd say probably 75%, 70% of people play head-to-head leagues. So generally, I'm looking at head-to-head people or head-to-head value when I do the monstrous. And all the lines of the night, they're on head-to-head based value. So today's monstrous line of the night goes to DeAndre Jordan of the Los Angeles Clippers. Jordan played 34 minutes. He went 20-12. He had 2 steals, 4 blocks, and in massive value with his 8 of 9 shooting. And you know what? Even his free throws were okay. He was only 4 of 6 from the free throw line, considering he's shooting less than 40% on the season. When he shoots 67%, it feels a lot better than what we've seen from him so far this season. So he's probably been a little bit quiet this season, DeAndre Jordan. Definitely not quite up to the level that we saw him last year. He's 2 rebounds less per game, and that's significant. He's a couple of percent less as well, but not that big a deal. But what we're also seeing is half the amount of steals that he's getting. Points are similar. Free throw percentage is still terrible, obviously. And just his value came last year because he was getting you 15 rebounds. He was getting you 2.2 blocks and a steal. This year, we're at 13.6 and 2.6, so an increase in blocks. So his value has dropped a little bit. He hasn't looked quite the same guy. But you know, today was a pretty good sign. He was dominant early in the game for the Clippers. Hit a ton of shots early. I think he hit his first 4 or 5 shots of the game, ended up just missing one. So a big game for DeAndre Jordan. And I said this is head-to-head leagues because we know what DeAndre Jordan is like in head-to-head leagues. We know his negative value in roto formats, but in head-to-head leagues, you're punting free throws and he just gives you those bulk numbers in those other categories. So a big boost to your field goal percentage, good blocks, big rebounds, and generally pretty decent steals. So DeAndre Jordan gets today's monstrous line of the night. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Terrence Ross of the Toronto Raptors. He moved into the starting lineup playing 39 minutes with Damari Carroll out with a knee bruise. We don't know how long Damari Carroll is going to be out. That is a concern. He could be out really indefinitely is what they've said. That could be a week. It could be 3 weeks. It could be 6 weeks. Who knows? I think probably you're probably looking at 2 to 3 weeks maximum would be my guess. 2 weeks maybe. But Terrence Ross was the guy that in the offseason, before free agency came on, I thought this guy is primed for... He's a breakout candidate. Not primed for, but he's a breakout candidate. He's in that last year of the rookie deal. He's shown flashes. And this is his real opportunity to... His first opportunity to put up some decent numbers. And he was pretty good. 22 points, 4 threes, 6 rebounds, 2 steals. Now, the 8 of 12 shooting is unsustainable. The 4 of 6 3-point shooting is unsustainable as well. but he has been a guy that showed some glimpses. His per 36 numbers aren't terrible. 12 points, 2.2 threes, 1.5 steals, but he's been shooting 38% this year, so that needs to come up. For now, if you're looking for someone to help in those steals, threes, sort of a Kentavious Caldwell-Pope type of player, Terrence Ross is going to have short-term value while Damari Carroll is out. We have no idea how long it's going to be at this point, but if he's going to play 30-plus minutes, if he's going to play 38 minutes, then he's going to have some pretty good value, I think. So he's someone that you can look at in quite a lot of different formats, but just don't expect him to go for 22-6 in every game, because he's just not going to shoot that well that often. He's just not that sort of shooter, but I think he can be better than what we've seen from him in the past. The young gun of the night, well, who is it?
Porzingis.
Sure is. Kristaps Porzingis, after a poor game in the last one, some of that due to foul trouble, he bounced back here. He played 35 minutes. He led the Knicks in scoring quite comfortably. 28 points on 13 of 18 shooting. A couple of threes, a couple of blocks. Only the two rebounds, but nice steal. Just an overall all-round huge number again from Kristaps. He has been obviously more than anybody could have expected from him. And the biggest thing that's really working for him at the moment is the increase in his field goal percentage. At 54% the last 2 weeks, and 86 from the line. So super efficient, 16.7 points, a 3, 8.5 rebounds, 2.7 blocks. He's a clear top 20 player over those last couple of weeks, a clear top 40 player on the season. Just putting up the numbers, maybe there'll be a bit of a drop-off, but it feels to me like he's just getting more comfortable and becoming better. And Dirk Nowitzki had some pretty good quotes about Kristaps today, about how people compare Dirk to Kristaps, and he said it's inevitable that any big European that comes over who can shoot gets compared to him. But Dirk was saying that he thinks Kristaps is further ahead than what he was in his career at this age of 20, and that Dirk would go out there and be overawed by playing against legends, and Kristaps doesn't have that. Dirk thinks that he's better than what he was at that age. And you know what? It's pretty hard to find an argument against it for that. And I'm not saying that Kristaps is going to become Dirk or become better than Dirk. But at that age, first season, age 20, is Kristaps having a better start than what Dirk did? You could definitely make that argument. He's been fantastic this season so far. The dud of the night. Ew, this wasn't pretty at all. Wasn't very nice. Reggie Jackson of the Detroit Pistons. He played 24 minutes. He went 4-1-1. This was just a brutal, brutal game. If you owned any Pistons in DFS, it had been on such a really, such a massive hot streak, so many of these players. This was just ugly. There's nothing to worry about with Jackson. There are going to be some bad games. We've seen it already a couple of times this season. There are going to be some games where it doesn't click. He's going to get pulled. He's not going to play full minutes because Van Gundy gets pissed at the result of the game. It is what it is. Don't really care too much about it. I don't think it's just one of those ones that you wish didn't happen, but it did. The DFS value of the day was Terrence Ross as well. He was minimum salary, $3,500. He put up 33.2 points. So a big game from Terrence Ross in both formats of the fantasy basketball game. All right, that is the monstrous line and assorted lines of the night. Let's get in and talk about the rest of the games by looking at these box scores in just a touch more detail. Bring that up on the screen. And also, just a quick mention, if you are watching these on YouTube Live, thank you. If you listen to this on the audio and you've been previously watching them on YouTube later, yes, the videos are stuffed. I don't know what's going on with them. It is a Google problem. It's a Google Hangout problem and a YouTube problem. They have said it's an issue on their end. It's been happening the last 3 days. For example, yesterday's video was about 55 minutes long, but you can only watch 25 minutes on YouTube, and then it cuts out. I haven't been able to process anything, add any of my cover images, nothing for the last 3 days. So any issues with YouTube over the last 3 days, they're working to fix it. They've got no ETA of when it is going to be fixed, so I do apologize. You can obviously still watch it live streamed when it goes out. That's not feasible for everyone. Otherwise, you're going to have to listen to the audio, because I just don't know what's going to happen with each of these videos or when they're going to fix the problem if you do watch on YouTube. So I do apologize for those issues, but they are out of my control, unfortunately. All right, so if you are watching live, you can see these box scores that up. You might be able to see it later on. I don't know. We'll see how it works out. The first game is that Detroit Pistons and Charlotte Hornets matchup. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was the best of the Pistons. He had 16 points with 4 rebounds and 3 steals. That's 2 good games in a row for KCP. He's still a borderline 12-team league guy because basically he's a points, threes, and steals guy. He's not going to contribute in many other areas. The rest of this game, it was just such a blowout. Andre Drummond played just 24 minutes. Now, there was foul trouble involved in that as well. He had 5 fouls, 9-9 with 3 steals. Marcus Morris, 11-3. Ersan Ilyasova, probably one of the better Pistons on the night, 15-13 with 3 threes, a steal, and a block, but pretty poor shooting. And, you know, Aaron Baines got 20 minutes. Steve Blake got 20 minutes. Reggie Bullock played 4 minutes. Joel Anthony played 4 minutes. Darren Hilliard played 4 minutes. These are the signs where we go, okay, it's a blowout. We can pretty much move on and not care too much. But it's worth noting that Ilyasova had that big game because this is what he's capable of. The consistency is just what's killing you with Ersan. Onto the Hornets, Cody Zeller had his second big game in a row, 20-6 with 2 blocks. You've heard me spout off way too many times about Cody Zeller. I think that he's a guy that in 12-team leagues you want to own, at least for the short term. I do believe in his ability. I believe in his fantasy talent. I did add him in the Red Rock Listener League when the Al Jefferson injury happened. The first game did shake my confidence quite a bit because, you know, he was getting less minutes than a lot of other guys and was ineffective. But the last two, he's been really impressive. So I'm okay with having him as a short-term add. Kemba Walker was battling illness. He played just 25 minutes, 14-9, not too bad. Nick Batum went 13-7-8 with 2 threes and 2 steals. And Marvin Williams went 14-12. And big Frank Kaminsky played 31 minutes off the bench here. Again, blowout, extra minutes for him. 7 points, 4 rebounds, 1 block. If you're adding anyone, you're clearly adding Zeller out of that group. And for all the Jeremy Lamb people out there, he's dropped off significantly. And it was something that I was cautioning, that he was never going to be a 65% shooter. This is just not who he is. His last 2 weeks, this is how good a shooter he was at the start of the season, right? So he's shooting 49% for the season. The last 2 weeks, he's shooting 41%. So he's been that bad for the last 2 weeks, but he's still at 49% on the year. He is trending down because he is not a good shooter. And that's not true. He's not an elite, historic, good shooter, which is showing at the start of the season. It's trending down. The minutes aren't pushing back up to 30. For me, he is not a must-hold in 12-team leagues. You can if you want, if you think that he's going to return to his shooting prowess or get back to 30 minutes. I think that for him to get to 30 minutes, Hairston and or Lynn will have to suffer an injury. But otherwise, Steve Clifford's going to run Hairston out there for his 16 minutes, Lynn for his 25 or 27 minutes, and Lamb's going to get his 24 to 26 minutes. And if he's not hitting his shots, is he really offering enough? You might say, yeah, he's blocking shots at a pretty decent level. He's giving you 6 rebounds a game over those last 2 weeks. But it all depends on what you need. He's just not... I like Jeremy Lamb, but that sort of form was not sustainable, and we're seeing the drop-off come here from him now. The next game, where are we? There we go. The next game is, talk about blowouts. The next game is the San Antonio Spurs and the Philadelphia 76ers. So the Spurs decided to sit Kawhi Leonard, who was ill. He was sick. Yeah, he was sick. And Tim Duncan sat out due to rest. So their two best players sat out. Manu Ginobili wasn't a scratch, but he didn't play at all. And the Spurs won by 50 points. More than 50 points. Franchise record. LaMarcus Aldridge went 26-9 in 22 minutes. Boban Marjanovic, fresh off just ripping the D-League a new one the other day, he came in and played 17 minutes, went 18-4 with 2 steals. He is a legit deep, a really deep and dynasty format guy, but I like his ability to put up stats. I think he's going to be good. Tony Parker played 17 minutes. Matt Bonner started. Kyle Anderson played 30 minutes, went 7-5. Jonathan Simmons played 14 points. We can't get anything out of this box score, really, apart from Marjanovic. And Danny Green sucks. I can't explain it. He played 19 minutes here. The minutes aren't ideal, but 3 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 3. The appeal of him is so tantalizing. But if you're, I'll say it now, you're in a 10-team league, boot, ass, done. I think you can get rid of him. In a 12-team league, it's a little bit debatable, but I reckon you can pretty much get rid of him in a 12-team league as well. He probably will turn it around, but Jesus, how long do we have to wait? How many opportunities does he need? There is just something not working here at all for Danny Green. I can't put my finger on it. I'm sure he can't put his finger on it. I don't think the Spurs can put their finger on it. But he's just lost at the moment. It's just not happening for him. So 10-team leagues, I'll wave goodbye to Danny Green. 12-team leagues, I'd probably do the same. Not good and pretty weird, to be honest. The Philadelphia 76ers, Nerlens Noel, played 24 minutes here. And this is getting back to Nerlens Noel. 13-6, two steals and a block. So that's what we want from him. We want him to get back to those two steals, two blocks. And that's a pretty good line. So that's fairly encouraging in only 24 minutes. Bob Cove, 13-6 with a couple of threes. And Jeremy Grant, not his best game, 21 minutes for him, 5-4. Tony Roten, let's check in on Tony Roten. How did he go? He played 14 minutes. 2 points, 2 assists, 0 of 5 from the field, 2 of 4 from the free throw line. So not only did he not help you anywhere, but he actually hurt you in the efficiency stats. He's just not good. He's not good. And Kendall Marshall is probably back this week as well, and he is going to be the favorite to be the starting point guard on this team. I can't say it enough. I know some people really believe in Tony Roten. I'll apologize if he becomes good. Pretty confident I won't have to apologize though. Jahlil Okafor was back from his suspension, 29 minutes for him, 10-4, no steals, no blocks, and some brutal, brutal percentages. We saw some absolutely shit-ass shooting from him in Summer League. He's not that 55% guy that we saw at Duke at all. He's shooting 45 on the season, 34 over the last 2 weeks. He hasn't been great recently at all, 12.2 and 7.4 rebounds, and some of the concerns that I had for him during Summer League are coming to the fore now. He still has to be owned. Roto leagues, not necessarily. He still has to be owned in standard leagues because we know he can go out there and be a 20-10 player occasionally. But he's really struggling. I think he's struggling a lot mentally as well. All these off-court issues, the suspension, the play. He looks disinterested at times. It's not looking to me like it's going to be a good situation. The other thing that's interesting with Jahlil Okafor as well is in the last 5 games, he's actually attempted 2 threes. Now, I'd have to go back and look to see what they were. Were they half-court buzzer beating shots, whatever? But why is he taking 3-pointers? I want to go back and have a look at that. Or if someone knows, tweet at me and tell me, why is Jahlil Okafor taking 2 threes in the last 5 games? Seems odd to me, considering he can't shoot from outside of 5 feet, so I don't know why he's taking threes. That could be was it an Andrew Bynum three? Like an FU coach, I'm taking a three? I don't know. Need to look into that, but he's a guy that definitely is struggling at the moment. But if you're looking for the stats that he can provide, it's a really good buy low opportunity if you're punting that free throw percentage, which has been not ideal, and if you're willing to take on a fair bit of inefficiency, which is what he's providing at the moment. TJ McConnell started, played just 18 minutes, 2-2-2, and the return of Kendall Marshall is going to complicate his value. But I don't know if we read massive amounts into this game, given the blowout nature of the game. 28 minutes for Isaiah Cannon. He missed all 6 of his shots, had 5 assists. So not a great night for Isaiah, definitely. He still, I think, is worth looking at in 12-team leagues if you need points and threes. But again, he's going to hurt when Kendall Marshall comes back, which, again, is pretty close to being on the horizon. So that'll be happening soon. The Los Angeles Lakers are the next one, and the Toronto Raptors. Now, a lot of tweets today. Can't wait to hear Josh rip on Byron Scott. Can't wait to hear the Byron Scott rant. Can't wait to hear the Lakers rant. Do I need to? It writes itself, doesn't it? If Byron Scott isn't taking the piss, then I don't know what's happening. And if anyone doesn't know what taking the piss means, I'm not sure if that's an Australian term. It sounds pretty Australian. Taking the piss means having a laugh, pulling your leg. If he's not taking the piss, then I don't know what this organization is doing. Unless it's just a deliberate attempt to hire the most incompetent people at positions of power to ride this team into the ground. He decided to go back to his tried and true method from last season that resulted in them getting the number 2 pick. So if he thinks it's winning games, his method last year was, we're going to play guys 10 games and then we're going to change it no matter what. Cool. That works so well for motivation, confidence, consistency. So he did it here. D'Angelo Russell to the bench. And Russell is pissed. He does not like it. Hey, you know what, D'Angelo? At least you only have to play under this dickhead for the rest of this season and that's it. Julius Randle moved to the bench. He's not all that happy either. D'Angelo Russell played 21 minutes and Randle played 21 minutes. And if you move him to the bench, that's fine. You know, Victor Oladipo moved to the bench in Orlando. He's still not getting quite enough minutes for me, but move him to the bench and play him 32 minutes, fine. Don't play him 21 minutes, because you know who doesn't need 31 minutes? Lou Williams. He doesn't need 31 minutes. D'Angelo Russell needs 31 minutes. Larry Nance doesn't need 29 minutes. I'm not a big fan of Julius Randle, but I'm pretty confident that he's better than Larry Nance. Nance played 29 minutes. I like Nance. I think he's really super athletic, and we saw he had 3 blocks here. But let Randle play. 6-6 for Nance with those 3 blocks. Randle had 15-11 with no other stats in 21 minutes. So that's really good still. I'm not dropping Randle. I'm not dropping Russell, because no matter what Scott says, he's liable to do something different anyway. So they could go back to 30 minutes in the next game. But if he continually plays these guys 20 minutes, it's negligence. It's organizational negligence. It's negligence against these guys' NBA career. I'd like to know, hear from a Lakers fan, if they're happy that they're losing this way. But it could be along the lines of, you know, people worry about the Sixers process, but if you're losing by actually damaging your good players, is it worth it? Russell's bad enough that even if you played 35 minutes, you're not going to win games. Like, he needs to develop. He's not good yet. Don't just put the guy on the bench and then piss him off any further. That's not even a rant on Byron Scott. I could say so many things about that guy. He has to be taking the piss. It's as simple as that. Kobe Bryant played 32 minutes. 21-8-4 with 2 steals and a 3. He also shot over 50% exactly for the only time this season. I said it before, Kobe has a lot of fantasy value in the right spot. I don't think he's going to shoot 50% very often this year, but 21-8-4 with 2 steals is fantastic, and he can be used in every punt field goal percent build. He's probably a top 50 player, and you need to make sure that he's owned. Simple as that. Lou Williams in his start went 15-3. No assists, no steals, no blocks. So that's always good to see when you replace your point guard. You put another guy in there and he has 0 assists. Pretty awesome. And then the other guy in the backcourt, Jordan Clarkson, has 1 assist. So things are working pretty well in that sense. Now, Clarkson had 13-5 with a 3 and an assist. So he didn't move to the bench. But you know, we could see Marcelo Huertas in the starting lineup in place of Clarkson. And I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be pissed off, but I wouldn't be shocked. On to the Raptors. Kyle Lowry, 27-7-6 with 5 threes. Good night from him. DeMar DeRozan, 16-5-6. That's probably substandard, but not too bad. And we had this game here. Bismack Biyombo got back to 29 because Bebe Nogueira, my man, he didn't play. He suffered an ankle sprain, so he did not play. So Biyombo got the minutes. And 15-13-2 blocks is great, and that's what I was saying about Biyombo. If he gets 30 minutes, you can use him. But Nogueira was cutting so much into his value that it was limiting him. Nogueira doesn't appear to be out for too long from what I can tell. So if you're looking for what Biyombo adds, which is blocks and rebounds, then you can add him. Corey Joseph played 31 minutes as well. He's going to be a beneficiary from the Damari Carroll injury. 14-2-2 for a steal. I think he's worth looking at across the board in 12-team leagues. And the Luis Scola, Patrick Patterson, awesome combination combined for 4 points and 3 rebounds. And neither of those guys deserves minutes or deserves a spot on a 12-team roster. The next game is the Washington Wizards and the Miami Heat. John Wall did play through that knee problem. He had 26-1-7, so a good night from him. We saw Otto Porter, who's back in form, go 13-14-4 with 2 steals and a block, so he obviously must be owned everywhere. And Bradley Beal, 21-3-4, still scoring, still chucking up a lot of shots and missing a lot of shots, very Kobe-esque. But if you don't worry about the field goal percentage, you're very happy with what Bradley Beal is doing. Jared Dudley had his best game. He played 35 minutes, 12-4 with a couple of threes. So that's a good performance. He still has value in those deep 12, 14 team formats. There was still no Nene. There was still no Marcin Gortat. But we'll likely get those guys back in the next game. Chris Humphries returned. He played 17 minutes and went 2-2. So he's not offering much. And Gary Neal played 36 off the bench. He went 21-2-4 with 2 steals and 3 threes. He's been really, really good lately. He's playing that sixth man role. I'm glad that he's getting the minutes over Garrett Temple, because I don't really believe in Garrett Temple. But at the moment, you have to look at him in 12-team leagues. 26 minutes a game for Neal in the last 2 weeks. 15 points, 2 threes, 3 rebounds, half a steal, 57%. Now, I think it's probably negligent if you think that Gary Neal is going to shoot 57%, much like the comments we had on Jeremy Lamb to start the season, given that his past three seasons have been 37, 41, and 41. He's red hot. You can add him and look at him short term, but it is, if it doesn't drop off, is the greatest improvement ever seen in league history, probably. I haven't looked that up, but I'm guessing. And it's buoying a lot of his value. And obviously his scoring comes down if that doesn't stay at that level, which it won't. So you can look at him short term, but I'm not dropping anyone of any long-term value to go and add Gary Neal. The Miami Heat, they went small to try and combat the Wizards. So that meant Hassan Whiteside played just 23 minutes. Now, when you got the best big man in the game with Gortat out, I think you just punished him with Whiteside. Let him stay in there and just block the shit out of everything. He was 14-4. He hit all 7 of his field goals. He had 3 blocks. Don't understand limiting him to 23 minutes. They lost the game, so it obviously didn't work out. Justice Winslow continues to be the guy who does the least with the most. 33 minutes, 2 points and 6 rebounds. If this guy finishes inside the top 200 in fantasy this year, I'm going to be shocked. He just plays minutes and he's been awesome as a defender as a rookie, like really good. But fantasy stats, forget about it. Like, just doesn't project as a good fantasy player to me. Chris Bosh, 18-9 with 4 assists, 2 blocks and a 3. Goran Dragic, it looks like he's getting back on track. 23-9 with a steal and 2 threes. And Dwayne Wade, 26-7-9. So if you held on to Dragic, which you probably should have, you definitely should have, you're starting to get it paid back to you now. If you bought low, you'd be pretty happy. And you should have been able to buy really low because he was stinking. Absolutely terrible. But it's paying off now. Gerald Green got another start. He's started all these games with Luol Deng out. And he's basically put up one good game and the rest terrible. He has no place in being owned in 12-team leagues, does Gerald Green. The next game is the Dallas Mavericks and the New York Knicks. Fatface Ray Felton played 34 minutes, 14-5-5 with 2 threes and a steal. He's getting massive run with Barea out. He's great value in DFS. He's a good short-term add while Barea and Devin Harris were out. But, nah. I can't say add Ray Felton. It just doesn't feel right. You can stream him short-term if those guys are out for another game. Dirk went 25-6. Wes Matthews, shockingly, didn't hit 10 more threes, but he did go 10-5-4 with 2 threes and 3 steals and played 34 minutes, which is important. I don't think we need to worry about Wes Matthews' minutes anymore. That's done. The restrictions are off. Forget about it. Darren Williams, 23-7, and Chandler Parsons came back off the bench. 25 minutes for him, 9-2 with 2 blocks and 2 threes. He is frustrating the hell out of me. I'm sure he's frustrating you. We've still got another month to wait until he's back in action, but then he could turn in a top 50 second half. Zaza Pachulia, 8-8, and not much to really speak about with the bench guys here. Dwight Powell had a bit of a cameo, 8-6 in his 19 minutes, but it's going to take a few things to go wrong for the Mavericks for him to become a guy that we want to own. Carmelo Anthony struggled with his shot, 6-18, 17-6-8, not a bad return. Jose Calderon, 14-7-5 with 3 threes and a steal. I think that he's a 12-team league guy to me. Robin Lopez is not. I don't know what the hell. No, I do know. He's just not good anymore. He was terrible last season. He has been terrible this year. Derek Fisher does not use him much, and that's fine because he's not all that good. 6-2 with a block. You can probably drop him in all 10-team formats and most 12. Can't really get behind Lance Thomas playing 27 minutes. 11 points for him, but he's not really a fantasy consideration. And big old Aaron Aflalo played 30 minutes for 6 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. Real surprise he had no steals and no blocks. Pretty sure you're tired of hearing my Aaron Aflalo stance by now. Kevin Seraphin played 16 minutes, went 6-5. Oh, start Kevin Seraphin. Start Kylo Quinn. Put someone else in there. Give him 30 minutes. I'm convinced that if Seraphin or Quinn started and played 30 minutes, they'd be top 100 fantasy players. Maybe it's a bit bold, but that's how I think they can be really good players. Robin Lopez, he was decent at one stage. It's just not happening anymore. Portland and Milwaukee. Tell you what is happening. Ed Davis is worth owning in pretty much all 12-team leagues. 10-13 in 28 minutes, 2 blocks. He has the most double-doubles of any bench player this season. He's had 6. Big field goal percentage. He's a guy that I massively liked when he was in Toronto. Loved him there. Didn't like the trade that they did to send him off to Memphis. He got buried in Memphis. He got Byron Scotted in Los Angeles. And he's fighting himself into a pretty decent role here. And it's fantasy relevant, definitely. Damian Lillard went 23-5-7, and CJ McCollum had a career high with 5 steals. 17-2-4, but also Kobe Bryant, he went 5 of 20 from the field, and that's the trade-off with CJ. El-Farouq Aminu, pedestrian 9-5 with a couple of steals. Noah Vonleh started, played 14 minutes and went 6-7, which is actually pretty good for those minutes, but we don't worry about him. And Mason Plumlee was limited to 20 minutes here. This has been a trend for Plumlee. The minutes are coming down with Davis sort of coming up. 3-4 with 3 blocks. He still is a must-hold for me, though. And Myers Leonard, despite scoring just 6 points in 23 minutes, is also a guy that we definitely have to hold, or I think you do anyway. On to the Bucks. It was good for them to get a victory. There's rumors that Jared Bayless' ankle injury is maybe a little bit more serious than a severe sprain. So we need to probably move on from him in 12-team leagues. A guy we don't need to move on from is OJ Mayo. He played 36 minutes here, 15-1-2 with 3 threes and 3 steals. I'm okay with adding OJ Mayo in most 12-team formats, I think. He's getting minutes, he's the flavor of the month, and it might not stick around with him, but it's happening now. Chris Middleton, 14 points, 3 assists, 2 steals. Jabari Parker, 12-6-4. And Michael Carter-Williams off the bench, 8-5-7. You know the percentages are a problem, the turnovers are a problem, but you can get some nice rebounds and assists, and I still think that you need to hold on to him. Giannis Antetokounmpo went 17-9, had a steal and 2 blocks. So a pretty decent night from Antetokounmpo. And Greg Monroe, 16-12. But the minutes, he's still getting jerked around a bit with the minutes. Only 27 here. And that's because we saw John Henson play 21. 8-7 for Henson with 4 blocks. That's great, but can you pick the game that he's going to play 20 minutes? Oh, I can't. I don't know when it's going to happen. So that makes him risky in 12-team formats. But probably the big story here is OJ Mayo. And the way that he's playing. I'm looking to add him in quite a few leagues, if I can. It might only be short-term, but I think I really like the role that they're giving him, and I like the way that he's playing. And this news on Bayless' ankle is even more encouraging for him to stick out there a bit longer. The Clippers and the Timberwolves is the next game. Shockingly, Chris Paul and JJ Redick both came back for this game. We didn't expect them to be back, but they were. Chris Paul played 32 minutes, went 14 with 5 assists and 4 steals. Not a great night, but you're happy to have him back. Jamal Crawford had one of his better games with those guys playing. 18-3-7 with 4 threes. If you added him, you might want to hold, but I don't reckon he's going to be a must-hold player. I like that they gave Wes Johnson 22 minutes. He went 10-2 with 2 threes and 2 blocks. He is an awesome triple one threat if he can get 27 minutes plus. He's probably going to struggle to do that, but he's better than Josh Smith's been this year. He's better than Austin Rivers. He's better than Lance Stevenson. He's better than Paul Pierce. He's better than Luke Marmute. So there is scope for him to get minutes. Marmute started, went 1-3. That can be done. Doc, you can forget about that. He shouldn't be starting. Rumors also came out that the Clippers were looking to trade Josh Smith and Lance Stevenson. Good luck. Don't know who you're trading them for. Maybe Tony Roten. That'd be a good fit on the Clippers. Blake Griffin went 16-11-5 in his 37 minutes. A pretty solid night from him. On to the Timberwolves. Ricky Rubio, 16-5-7, 4 steals, 4 of 8 from the field, 8 of 8 from the line. Good. You know I'm a huge Ricky Rubio backer. I think he's a tremendous fantasy talent in the right teams and the right builds, and that's a build that I utilize quite a bit this season, so good to see him back out there. Sam Mitchell, I have to give you congratulations because Gorgie Jang and Karl Anthony Towns played 12 minutes together. I know it's taken 6 weeks for you to realize that they're your best two forwards, but you've realized it. Everyone else realized it 3 months ago, but you've realized it now. Towns went 18-5 with 3 threes and 2 blocks. Yeesh, yikes, 3 threes. Watch out for this guy. And Gorgie Jang, 14-5 with 2 assists. You've got to own Jang everywhere. Obviously, you have to own Towns, and you have to own Zach LaVine as well. He's been putrid shooting the ball, but 21-3-2 with a 3 and a steal, and the minutes in the 25-30 range, and with Kevin Martin being just horrible. He's done. He's so bad. I don't know what's going on. He's just dropped off the face of the earth. 14 minutes for Martin, 0 points, 2 rebounds. And Andrew Wiggins just decided he was going to absolutely slaughter your percentages in the first day of a weekly matchup. He went 3 of 15 from the field. He went 1 of 5 from the free throw line for 8-7. At least he had a triple one, but just not a good night from big Andy Wiggins. The next game is the Phoenix Suns and the Chicago Bulls. Okay, Markieff Morris, he played. He played 7 minutes. He's been piss poor this season. He can probably be moved on from him and Danny Green. 10-team leagues, I reckon you can cut. There is Morris does have value. He could get traded, but is it imminent? I don't know. I reckon if I'm in a 10-team league, I'm moving on. In a 12-team league, I'm probably a little bit more hesitant. John Lua got another start, 10-8 with two steals and a block. You can look at him in 12-team leagues. Mirza Tolidovic, 20-4 with two blocks and four threes. He's probably more of a specialist guy for deeper leagues and streaming options, but he's still valuable. And Devin Booker, 33 minutes for the rookie, 14-3-5, two threes and a steal. That is very, very impressive. And it's something to watch out for. We're not adding him in 12-team leagues. 14-team leagues, maybe, just for upside. But, geez, that's a pretty good night. Brandon Knight went 21-3-3. Bledsoe, 16-9-3 with three steals. So good nights from those guys. And that trend with Alex Len continued to a degree. He played 22 minutes. It would have been more, but he fouled out because he was going up against a team like the Bulls who got a big front court. And he plays big minutes against big front courts. And he was good, 15-6 with a steal and a block. He's one of those guys that, again, I'm on the bandwagon. Alex Len is good. He is a good fantasy player. He's a good NBA player. He could be a very good NBA. That sounded terrible. I don't know why that came out of my mouth like that. He could be a very good NBA player. Tyson Chandler's in his way. Now, Chandler will be back soon. So, you know what? Maybe it's not a bad idea to add Alex Len. And maybe he holds off Tyson Chandler. I would be shocked if it happened. Shocked. But Jeff Hornacek has not, you know, he's not scared. He's benchmarked Keith Morris. Chandler's been as bad, if not worse, than Morris. Maybe he keeps him on the bench and runs with Len and Lura in the front court. It's a possibility. And if Len gets 27 minutes, you want him on your fantasy team. I do really like him. TJ Warren's not a 12-team league guy to me. He had 25 minutes for 5-3. And PJ Tucker, this was our early season vintage PJ Tucker, 0-1 in 18 minutes. Onto the Bulls, Pau Gasol, huge, just missed the monstrous line of the night. 22-10-6, two steals, three blocks. Nikola Mirotic was pretty solid as well, a 1-13-7-4. While Joakim Noah and Taj Gibson didn't do a massive amount. Gibson, you like his defensive numbers, 8 boards, 2 steals, 2 blocks, but he's still only a deeper league guy. Derrick Rose, just getting it done, sort of. 14-6-4 with 3 steals, while Jimmy Butler also just getting it done, and that's all relative to the amount you spend on them. 19-4-3. With a couple of threes and a steal and a block for Jimmy. Dougie McDermott couldn't get it going here. Tony Snell had 10 points, but yeah, we don't care about Tony Snell. The next game, the Boston Celtics, the New Orleans Pelicans, a blowout in this game, so there was a lot of junk time. But what we saw in junk time was my boy Kelly Olynyk. 21-3-3. He didn't have a triple one. He had a double triple one. Two threes, two steals, and two blocks. If you're new to the podcast, or if you don't listen to every episode, Kelly Olynyk is a top 50 fantasy player. If he gets starters minutes. If. It's just unlikely for him to happen. Now, David Lee's injured. He shouldn't be playing anyway. Olynyk, Amir Johnson, and Jared Sellinger should be playing 30 minutes apiece. If you're in a 14-team league, I'm grabbing Olynyk because he's having more of these games than bad games. Yeah, there'll be some games where he has 2 points in 11 minutes, and that'll happen, and he does have a propensity to foul, but he's really, really good. I can't stress how much I like Kelly Olynyk. He is a superb fantasy option. I think he can be a really good NBA player. I really like him. Isaiah Thomas went 22-2-5 with four threes. Jay Crowder had 3 blocks and 17 points, and big Jared Sullinger, 11-20. With a three and a steal. So a big night from Jared as well. Amir Johnson, 9-5 with 3 blocks in his 24 minutes. And as I mentioned, this game was that much of a blowout that James Young played 20 minutes. That's probably his career minute total in one game. On to the Pelicans. Tyreke Evans played 18 minutes and went scoreless. Eric Gordon played 16 minutes and went scoreless. Omer Asik played 10 minutes and scored 3 points. Alonzo G played 13 minutes and went 8 points. They are 4 of your starters for the Pelicans. They combined for 11 points. 11. They combined for 53 minutes. This was over pretty quickly. Anthony Davis, 16-6, 2-3. Don't worry about Evans. Be a little bit worried about Gordon. I'm worried about Elvin Gentry. Stop playing Norris Cole. Stop it. Even if it's a blowout, don't get in 29 minutes. He is horrific. 4 of 15 from the field for Norris Cole. Another game under 30%. 8 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 1 block. He is just brutal. Leave Ish Smith in there. 16 minutes for Smith, 7, 4, and 4. He didn't get in until basically the end of the third quarter and then played all of the garbage time at the end. You don't have to hold Ish Smith in 12 term. He's definitely not. But just piss Norris Cole off. Don't play this guy. He's no good. Ryan Anderson, 18-9 in his 34 minutes. Alexei Yajintsev, again, one of those guys that if he gets minutes, he has fantasy value. I'm not as excited about him as I am as Olynyk, but 12-9 in 19 minutes. It's a situation to monitor. Omer Asik is garbage. Just play Yajintsev. Play him. Drew Holiday is really getting back into putting up the stats. You just want him to get 30 minutes. 14-2-6 with a 111 for Drew. It's really tough to own him and Chandler Parsons, but the payoff is going to be top 50 for these guys once January hits, and you could storm home in a head-to-head playoff situation with some big, big numbers from those guys. All right, that is it for the recap of Monday's action. Time for a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk DFS for Tuesday. I saw you. There is six games on for Tuesday's action for Daily Fantasy. Let's start with the first game. It's always a very good place to start. The Golden State Warriors and the Indiana Pacers, probably one of the game, definitely the game of the day, hopefully one of the games of the season. It's going to be awesome to see how this plays out. The Warriors are favored by 6. We've got a massive total, 215.5 here. We're going to see Steph Curry going up against Paul George. It's going to be interesting to see. Monte Ellis, still dealing with a sore back, but he'll play. He's not worth it. 5,800, he hasn't been putting up good numbers at all. He's averaging under 20 points in his last five. It's not a bad matchup for him, but Rodney Stuckey's been putting up good numbers. Alice has been struggling with the injury. Not a good situation, I don't think, for him. Andrew Bogut, Festus Ezeli, I'll leave them alone. Klay Thompson, his price has gone back over 6,000, but he's been averaging over 31 the last three. Popped 34 on the board in the last game. He looks like he's getting back into business at 6,000. I'm happy with using Klay Thompson. Fingers crossed. CJ Miles is hit and miss at times. At 5,200, though, I don't hate it for cash games. He's averaging 22.5 over the last three, 21 over the last five. He's definitely worth looking at. George Hill, not for me. Rod Stuckey at 5,000. Maybe he's averaging 31.7. And, you know, Monte Ellis has been playing in those games. So at 5,000, it's maybe a touch expensive, but I don't completely dislike it. Paul George at 10,100, you know that he's going to be pumped for this one. You know he's going to try and drop like a 50 fantasy point night. I'm sure that he really cares about his fantasy points, but that's the sort of impact you reckon he could have. 10,100, I do like Paul George here. He was awesome in the last game against Utah. I think he'll be massive again here. Steph Curry's at 10,900. Yeah, I don't know. Yes, it's a big game, and he does get up for big games, so you have to factor that in. But he's only averaging 45 across the last three, and at 10,900, you probably want him to do more than that. But this could be the opportunity where he goes out and pops a 60 on them, because it's a big game, it's against a good team. He's going to want to go and show them who's boss. Now, you can look at the defense versus position and go, oh, the Pacers really shut down opposition point guards, but opposition point guards aren't Steph Curry, so I don't really pay much attention to that. Draymond Green at 8,300. That feels expensive. I don't think I want to invest too heavily in him unless I've got a lot of other cheap options out in my team. The Portland Trailblazers and the Cleveland Cavaliers are up next. The Cavs are favored by 9 points. The total is 200. Mo Williams is considered questionable in this one with a bit of a knee issue. LeBron James missed the last game due to rest. Apparently wasn't happy with it. Then play. Surely he can just go, you know what, I'm playing. Maybe I'm wrong. Just doesn't... Seems odd to me. J.R. Smith at 5,300. Actually, before I touch on that, Kyrie Irving and Iman Shumpert both went through full practices today. Where, and they went to the point of saying, no, they're ruled out for tomorrow. So to me, when they say, oh, they're ruled out for tomorrow, that means that their return's pretty close. So I would expect to see Iman Shumpert back at some point this week, and I wouldn't be shocked if we see Kyrie return before the end of the week. It's probably a 20% chance, but I wouldn't be shocked if it happens. So, not running and grabbing Iman Shumpert, but it's going. Mo Williams can probably be dropped with these guys about to return. He's been doing nothing anyway. Matthew Dellavedova, if you added him, which is a fine move in seasonal leagues, then that value is going to drop as well. J.R. Smith, though, I'm still for holding him because I think he can still be valuable in 26 or 27 minutes. At 5,300 here, I think he's a pretty good play against a Portland team that does allow shooting guards to put up numbers, of course, because they're going up against CJ McCollum. Kevin Love would want to bounce back after a real stinker. His price is now dipped down to 7,700. This is a pretty good matchup for him. Timofey Mozgov is minimum salary. It still doesn't entice me, and neither does Tristan Thompson at 5,200. I don't mind LeBron at 10,200 if you're spending up big. Him and Paul George at that 10,000 mark are both really solid guys. LeBron is just basically a 47-point night waiting to happen pretty much every night. So against a Portland team, again, who's not all that good defensively, he could have, and I would think that he'd want to come out and put up a big line after sitting that Miami game. Matthew Dellavedova, 4,300. Only a tournament, I think. Damian Lillard at 9,300. It's too expensive. 7,000 for CJ McCollum. I'm okay. I'm behind that. He's averaged 35 over his last three, which is almost the same as Lillard, and you're talking 2,300 less. Yes, the shooting hurts, but he's going to take a lot of shots, and it means he's going to score, which helps. And Ed Davis at 4,900, I think, is a very, very, very good play in this game. He has played remarkably well. He said he's averaging 30 points a game over the last three, and at less than 5,000, that's definitely worth paying attention to. The next game is the Brooklyn Nets and the Houston Rockets. This game has fantasy friendliness tattooed all over it, but there's a few risks. First thing we need to talk about, though, is that Rondo Hollis-Jefferson is going to be out for a long time. He's got a foot fracture. This could be the season for him. It could be 3 months, but it just echoes what I said in yesterday's podcast, is that Shane Larkin, in seasonal leagues, I reckon you got to add him. He's going to be played 28 in the last game with Hollis-Jefferson out. They played him next to Jarrett Jack. He's been taking some of Jack's minutes anyway. I think you got to add Shane Larkin. I also really like him here. 4,600, averaging almost 29 across his last three. I reckon you use him and you get pretty excited about it. Same with Thad Young at 6,800. He's taking on the Rockets. They're not a good team with defending those power forwards. He's had a good season. And even if you want to throw in a tournament, Joe Johnson at 5,400, opposition shooting guards against the Rockets have been able to put up some pretty nice numbers. Now, Joe Johnson hasn't been able to put up nice numbers, but we know that he can put up decent numbers if given an opportunity or if something goes right. And I think this sort of is that opportunity. I also like Brooke Lopez at 8,200 from the Nets. There's a lot of Nets guys I like here. Jarrett Jack, I could even make a case for. Bojan Bogdanovic looks like he's going to get the first opportunity to start with Hollis-Jefferson out. He's 3,600. You can look at him in a tournament. He has put up a 36-point game already this season, so you know he's got that tournament upside. For the Rockets, Terrence Jones, Clint Capella, Donatas Motiejunas means I probably want to stay away from those three guys. You could put Jones and Capella into tournaments, but I don't want to risk them in cash games because we just don't know how the minutes are going to play out. Now, I think Capella's probably the safest because he can play center and power forward, and the Nets aren't going to go small that often. They've got Brook Lopez out there, so they're not going to be playing real small ball, so Capella will be able to match up there as well. So I like him the best out of that group. James Harden at 10,800. Yeah, I reckon you can spend that money on him as well if you're spending it pretty cheaply in some other areas. Dwight Howard at 8,100. No, I don't really enjoy that. And 6,100 for Trevor Ariza is probably a little bit too expensive for me. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Oklahoma City Thunder is the next game up. The Thunder are favored by 2.5. The total is 203 points in this game. No real injuries to be too concerned about in this one. Mike Conley at 6,700. Ross Westbrook does allow opposition point guards to put up numbers, so Conley's in a good spot here. Courtney Lee is less than 4,000. He's at 3,800. He's averaging 20.5 points over his last three. It's probably more of a tournament option, but I think that you can look at him. Same with Matt Barnes at 4,200. Not much else really looks that exciting. 8,100 from Marc Gasol. Yes, he's been pretty good, But at 8,100, he needs to go for 40. And I'm not really convinced that he does that here. The big boys in Oklahoma City. Kevin Durant, 10,100. I think there's value in him at that price. And Kevin Westbrook. Russell Westbrook at 10,900. I think that he is probably the best high-priced point guard on the board. He's averaging close to 50 in his last three. So I think that even at 10,900, he is a pretty decent choice. Not much else to really talk about. You don't want to really be spending anything on Deion Waiters. Mario Chalmers is worth a peek at 4,500. He's put up some pretty good lines lately, and this is a favorable matchup for him. Enes Kanter doesn't get enough minutes to be relied upon, and Anthony Morrow, nah, I don't think we'll bother with that one. The Orlando Magic and the Denver Nuggets. The Magic are favored by 3. The total is 198 here. Victor Oladipo was suffering a sore knee. He is going to play, but Aaron Gordon is questionable with an ankle sprain. On the Nuggets side, Gary Harris has been upgraded to questionable with his concussion, and Danilo Gallinari is questionable with a knee bruise. So there's quite a few injuries we need to have a look at here. The point guards in Denver are worth punting on in tournaments because Orlando does allow point guards to have big nights. So Jameer Nelson at 3,500, you might scoff at that, but he did put up 16 in the last game. He is averaging 23 minutes over his last five. Maybe he gives you 19 points, and that's enough. Emmanuel Mudiay at 5,500 just destroys percentages, just is not efficient, but this could be a game where he can rack up some counting stats. I'm all in on Nick Vucevic again, 7,200, putting up good numbers. Skiles is probably going to destroy me by playing him 20 minutes, but I think that he's worth a go, as is Lord Alfred Payton at 6,800. His minutes have been right up there. His production's been through the roof, liking him. And Will Barton at 5,700, I reckon you got to feel pretty confident about running him out at the moment. He's putting up a pretty strong run of games in a row. Now, there's going to be a stinker at some point. It could happen here, but this is not a difficult matchup for him. Now, Andrew Nicholson at 4,000. He's getting a lot of minutes. He's not producing great fantasy stats with it, so I'd probably steer clear there. I don't like Gallinari here. I don't like Toby Harris. Kenneth Faried, I just don't like in general. And Victor Oladipo at 7,600. Probably not for me. It's a pretty favorable matchup, but you need him to get 30 minutes to really reach that salary. I'd like him at 7,000. I'd love him at 7,000. But at 7,600, not for me. I'm avoiding Joffrey Lavergne. I'm avoiding Nikola Jokic. Darrell Arthur, maybe, but probably not, because of Kenneth Faried going to be there. Just avoid those Denver big men. I think that's a pretty safe way to go. The last game of the night is the Utah Jazz and the Sacramento Kings. The Kings are favored by 2, and the total is 205.5 points. Boogie Cousins has been bad. He's at 9,800. He's under 10,000. It is so appealing. It's so appealing. I'd be okay with using him at under 10,000. Where the value is that you have to smash in this one, though, is Gordon Hayward at 6,700. He's averaging 40 minutes over the last three. Derek Favors is averaging 39 over the last three. 6,700 for Favors. No, sorry, 6,700 for Hayward, 8,300 for Favors. I would look at getting both of those guys into lineups. Rodney Hood at 4,500 has been really bad lately. That's a tournament play only, but it's a favorable spot for him. And Omri Caspi could come off the bench, could start. George Karl says, oh, we want to change things. No shit, George. You change things every game. But no matter what Caspi does, he's probably going to get 28 to 30 minutes. At 4,300, I think that he's a pretty solid cash game play. He can go big in a tournament, but he's pretty rock solid around that 20 to 24 point mark. Trey Burke's got over 30 minutes the last couple of games. He hasn't done a massive amount with it, but did put up 33 in the last one. This is a favorable matchup for him, so 4,800, he can definitely be used. And 4,000 on Trevor Booker. A stinker and a good game. Makes him probably a tournament play. Rajon Rondo's at 8,300. I think that's too expensive. I don't want to be playing Rajon Rondo against the Jazz. Rudy Gay at 7,100. No, I think that's probably a bit expensive. I don't mind Kosta Kufos at 4,900, though. I think that there can be some value with him at that price point. Guys, that is it for the preview of the games. Let's now look at the daily fantasy plays of the day. If you are listening to this on a podcast, I will tweet this out, so go and check the timeline. That's Twitter at @redrock_bball to check this graphic that I'm putting up here. Point guard, Shane Larkin, 4,600. Mike Conley, 6,700. And Russell Westbrook, 10,900. The shooting guards, we go Courtney Lee at 3,800, J.R. Smith at 5,300, and James Harden at 10,800. Small forwards, Omri Caspi, 4,300, Gordon Hayward, 6,700, and LeBron James, 10,200. Power forwards, Trevor Booker, 4,000, Thad Young, 6,800, and Derek Favors, 8,300. At centre, I've got Myers Leonard, which I've spelt wrong on that graphic, 4,500. Nick Vucevic at 72 and Brook Lopez at 8,200. That's it, guys. Again, follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. And another Twitter account you have to be following if you're not already is Basketball Monster, and that's Basque Monster. Myself, Kyle McEwen, Matt Smith, or Ken Slight, the owner of Basketball Monster, we're on that account, and we're tweeting out everything that happens as soon as it happens. You know, late scratches, changes to starting lineups, quotes from coaches, and we're going in and adjusting the daily projections as they happen. So you get real-time updates. What you can do is on your phone, go follow Basketball Monster and then set the notification so you get an alert when something happens, and we tweet it out straight away. We go in and change the daily projections within about 60 seconds, so you'll see an immediate update to the projection. So go and follow that account and you'll see exactly what's going on over there. Make sure you're checking out Hardwood Paroxysm as well, subscribing to all the podcasts on there, and giving all those guys favorable reviews as well, because they do some pretty decent work. Not pretty decent, they do some awesome work. So check out that, plus all the written stuff on Hardwood Paroxysm. My name is Josh Lloyd again. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Subscribe on iTunes if they fix the bloody videos. Subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, as I said about the videos. Leave a review, that is most important. And help out the sponsors, whether it's Moneyball today or any of the other sponsors that appear on the podcast. Just go over there and help them out. It helps you out as well, but it helps the podcast out as well. It helps keep things going and helps keep things ticking at Red Rock HQ. We are done for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.